College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
7:03 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Do you support Pete Rose's reinstatement? Does he deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Let's go to Dundalk and get Donnie. What's up, Donnie?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling, sir.
I agree with Rob Manfred's decision that the punishment of banned individuals ends upon their death. So the big thing about the Baseball Hall of Fame is the mission is to preserve baseball's history, to honor excellence in the game, and to connect generations of baseball fans. You know, I wasn't even a forethought in, you know, somebody, my parents' plan when Pete Rose was playing, but based on his stats and watching him play, I think that he should be in the Hall of Fame. And I think that, you know, even with guys like Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Rafi, you know, those guys should be in the Hall of Fame too. Yep. You know, it's definitely a story of baseball's history.
I think there's a debate whether McGwire is a Hall of Famer or not with his numbers as they are. I would say this, though.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. I mean, you when you look at the guys, the difference with Barry Bonds, this is the problem I have. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, to me, are the greatest hitter and pitcher of my lifetime.
Yeah.
7 Cy Youngs, 7 MVPs. Like, what are we talking about? So when you talk about baseball, and again, they were never busted during their career, but all of a sudden we're going to go, hey, they can't get in because we know they did it. The same thing, Big Poppy was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And if you don't think that cat was cheating, you're an idiot.
I'm no idiot. I think he was cheating. No doubt about it.
David Arias in Minnesota, and all of a sudden now he's David Ortiz, and he's hitting 35 bombs.
Sammy Sosa, batting average, career, .252. OPS, .779. And the reason why that high, because he had 4 consecutive years of over 1,000. Other than that, who's Sammy Sosa? He's a borderline Hall of Famer.
If you came to me and said, look, I'm putting Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire in because they and Cal Ripken helped bring fans back to baseball with the streak and the home run stuff, I'd listen to you. Like, if you look at Mark McGwire's career, I mean, he was a home run hitter. That's what he was. Like, go look at the rest of his stats.
But the only thing that supports Mark McGwire is we live in the era of OPS, and his was ridiculously high.
You know what?
Ridiculously high, man.
You know why? Because of all those home runs.
Yes. His career OPS was...
And he walked a bit, too.
982 for his career.
His career?
His career was 982. You know what I mean? So for that alone, Sosa's was under 800. That's why I debate Sosa more than McGwire.
I debate McGwire more than Sosa. But look, when you look at the statistics and you're talking about the things that matter now, I don't know that we were diving into OPS back then.
No, we weren't. Right. We were not.
But you're right. No, I mean, with an OPS like that.
You know what Bonds was? Career.
Is it over 1,000?
Yeah.
Put his ass in the Hall of Fame!
Career OPS. You know what his career slugging is?
I don't even want to know, man.
Just give me a ballpark.
Let me go. Is this 608?
607.
Ah,
that's his career slugging. 607.
I don't have it in front of me.
607. You know his career on base percentage is?
Oof. Does he get on half the time, or is it like 440?
444.
You're kidding.
That means he got on base almost half the time.
Almost every time up. Yeah.
And he was only 2 points shy of being a 300 hitter. It was 298. So he's a .298 hitter, .444 on base percentage, .607 slugging with an OPS of 1.051.
Man,
his OPS plus was 182. Mm. 182. It was almost twice as high as a flat OPS. Because you want to be over 100. He was almost 200.
Yeah, but Rob,
they don't deserve to be.
To be fair, he was a great home run hitter. Oh. Wait a minute. How about his 8 gold gloves and the 12 silver slugger awards? I mean, look at all the things.
How about his 514 stolen bases? How about that? He's part of the 700-500 club. You know all those guys in that club? Yeah. Bill, Liberty Town. What's up, Bill?
Yeah. Pete Rose, hey, guess what? As a player, he needs to be in, no doubt. Yeah, I don't even think there's a question. You know, after that, you got to juggle. I personally, I think the guy was an a-hole, but You know, he had, you know.
But he was a Hall of Fame a-hole.
The game.
Yeah. There's no question he was a Hall of, he was an a-hole. He didn't treat people the right way. He wasn't a good guy. Look, we can talk about the gambling stuff. I don't know why people act like we're going to forget that if we put him in the Hall of Fame.
I don't either.
Let me explain something to you. He wasn't a good guy. Who cares? It's the Baseball Hall of Fame. Are we really going who's good and who's not good?
Well, right now we must be, because again, if you go with David Ortiz and Barry Bonds, I know who the better player is. I know who should be in the Hall of Fame.
You said they include what? The character in the equation?
That is literally.
Well, get Ty Cobb's ass out of there.
Yeah.
Get Ty Cobb's ass out of there.
I know. I'm just saying they have effed themselves because they said that off the field issues are part of what they put in there.
Gaylord Perry cheated on the field.
So it's kind of not like the NFL where they say don't take that into account. That's what they should do. They shouldn't take it into account, but they have put that in the equation.
410-583-1057. Jay on Tillman Island. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, man. I absolutely think Pete Rose needs to be in the Hall of Fame because as a kid growing up in the era of Pete Rose, he was called Mr. Hustle. If he walked, Charlie he ran Hustle. The first base. If he caught a foul ball or whatever he did, he hustled everywhere. Off the field, on the field, everything. Yeah, he was Mr. Hustle.
Charlie Hustle.
Yeah, I think he needs to be in.
Thank you very much, man. Say to get in for the Charlie people in the back.
Yeah. I thought he was called Mr. Charlie.
It's like what did Manny Machado say?
Charlie Hustle.
Oh, let's go to Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Great topic. I'm kind of 50-50. I think for his play on the field, Pete Rose certainly deserves being in the Hall of Fame. I think this just becomes a great topic to boost talking about baseball. And just in closing, Shohei Ohtani's lucky because he almost became the next great to get caught betting on baseball.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Saying.
Yeah. You got to have a fall guy. Who said that? Who was the guy that said you got to? Oh, Chris Carter?
Yeah.
Got to have a fall guy.
Baseball won't let that happen.
I don't even think that guy's in prison. I think he's on a beach somewhere.
let's see. Everybody wins the Walter Payton Award. Let's put them in the Hall of Fame in the NFL.
I mean,
that's what we want.
The problem is that we think all of our heroes and the stars are good people, and they're not. They're not always good people.
Very often they're not. People are flawed. I mean,
this is my, but again, it's like I feel like the MLB Hall of Fame, and Joe's right with some of the things they have listed. The NFL Hall of Fame says they don't look at anything off the field, and if
that's
the
nonsense
case,
too.
Then why isn't hold on, I want to get the right one. Darren Sharper in.
Yeah.
Guy has Hall of Fame statistics. But you know what he did? He raped a bunch of women.
Yeah.
So when they voted for it, they go, I can't vote for that guy.
Let's go get JR in Annapolis. What's up, JR?
Hey guys, and nice good morning to you. One other dynamic that you got to consider: Faye Vincent blamed Pete Rose for the death of Bart Giamatti, and if you look at the timing, Bart Giamatti died young, shortly after the investigation. So as long as Faye Vincent was on this side of the grass, Pete Rose was never going to be considered for the Hall.
What happened? Did he have a heart attack after betting on a game that Pete Rose fixed? I mean, why? How could he have killed him?
Yeah, right about that.
I know, but
it's
silly.
Yeah.
If you want to blame somebody for something, blame him for being a douchebag. Blame him for, it's a statutory rape thing was real. Blame him for all that stuff. Nobody here is saying he's a good person.
What do you think Paul Giamatti feels about that, Jeremy?
Oh, I don't know. Who, pig vomit?
Yes.
WNBC. Say it the right way.
NBC. Paul Giamatti. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Cohen.
All right, we're going to talk about a little nightmare fuel for you. Any of you guys ever been in a hot air balloon?
No.
Would you ever get in one?
Yes.
Oh, okay. We're going to have a fun story for you then on
no.
whether you should or shouldn't.
Hot air balloon.
Mexico just launched their first hot air balloon festival. It did not go well. I want to talk about a spa owner that hid $600,000 somewhere after a prostitution raid. I'll tell you where she hid it. And, Ed, you might enjoy this. There was a police cadet that was caught with small baggies of white powder during an actual recruit thing that they were doing. So they assumed he had drugs. I'll tell you what this actually was. It's so stupid and silly. And I think if he had said this to you, you'd go, "You're lying. Shut up." I'll tell you the story when we come back in the World of Stupid.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray.
On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's start off with this hot air balloon. This story is... I tried to watch the video of it and kind of see what happened. So let me get into it. If you guys have never been to it, I know New Mexico has a huge hot air balloon festival. My wife's gone to it. Actually, a lot of my family have gone down there and been a part of it. I think we got my father-in-law like tickets to get into a hot air balloon and try it out. Well, Mexico has launched their first hot air balloon kind of, you know, they want to have an annual event. And this is their first one, but things went awry when a man fell from the basket of a hot air balloon after it caught on fire in Zacatecas, Mexico. Hopefully I pronounced that right. The man was seen hanging onto a rope as the balloon continued to go higher and higher in the sky. The incident unfolded, and the thing that I found interesting about the story, why I wanted to read it, this guy's an effing hero. He saved two people's lives. He got them off the hot air balloon, and I'm going... Well, when did it catch on fire? Like, should they all have just jumped out like 20 or 30 feet in the air to try to save their lives? Mm-hmm. Or were they able to climb down the rope? That's what I don't know. But he's an effing hero, man. The incident unfolded when the basket caught fire on the ground. In a final act of selflessness, the man was able to help others to escape. Oh, so that's it. But he unfortunately got tangled in the rope and he went up to the sky. And then everybody just watched the balloon fall apart and plummet. Kidding? Yeah. So, I mean, it's a really sad story, but like, I wanted to bring this up because, like, I've thought about doing some of these things. Hot air balloons are the one that I'm not sure that I think I want to do it, but I also think I don't.
Headlines. Local radio host Rob Long dies in a hot air balloon.
But
investigate, because he didn't willfully go up in that.
Yeah.
He didn't willfully go up.
Ed, but hero Jeremy Kahn flew his friend Ed Norris to the ground with his ears. I couldn't carry two, and Rob was a jerk that day.
That day.
But yeah, look.
It's the one thing, I hate to say this because it's going to sound xenophobic, is in Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is my fear is when you go to foreign countries. I have more faith in people in the U.S. doing this stuff because I think it's better regulated. Because even simple things, I went parasailing in Mexico. You ever done that?
I have not. We thought about doing it when we were in Mexico.
I did it. It was fun. And I had no problem. It was four of us. again, though, it didn't go well for all four of us. It was myself, Dan Mullen, Chris's cousin, and Andre and Pierre, our two French-Canadian buddies. And we ended up getting up.
When was this?
Excuse me?
When was this?
I was in my 20s. The teacher had to steer with the like parachute. You're pulling the ropes and get you toward the shore, away from the shore. So we got in, landed fine and all that stuff. Somehow, the boat got just things got out of control. I think it was Pierre hit the hotel, which was not on the shoreline but close to it. But he ended up going that far in and ended up taking a nice
sacre bleu, a hotel.
Yes, right here. Yes, yeah.
Pierre,
that really
turn.
Happened.
Let so, me I mean, finish my croissant.
And then Andre, that's what happened. And Andre hit the water, and his chute carried him out a little bit because it's filled with water.
Oof.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
See, that stuff is...
So that stuff happens when you get two guys
to what you're talking about,
start their own business with parachutes.
How many times have we seen guys, you mentioned parasailing, hang gliding off of a cliff, cliff diving, things like that. I just watched a video where they forgot to strap the guy in, and he's holding on for dear life. Could you imagine being... 100 feet in the air and holding on to this hang glider.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't let go because if I do, I'm dead.
Right. No, I can't imagine that at
bungee
all.
Jumping.
There was a guy that just went bungee jumping and the cord wasn't strapped properly.
Yeah, I'll never do that.
So
not that I would do it. I wouldn't do it when I was young. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
Skydiving, all those. I mean, there's a lot of things
I've
that people
enough
do.
I've done dangerous things on a regular basis.
I've lived a dangerous life. I'm good.
Lived in Baltimore. I'm fine.
Right. Yes.
All right. How about this? Illicit spa owner was busted in a New Jersey prostitution raid. She had $600,000 and a gigantic teddy bear. The owner of this spa busted on prostitution charges after police raided her racy business and home, seizing luxury goods, a Tesla, and they find this gigantic teddy bear, and it's pretty heavy. So all of a sudden you're like, okay, what's in this damn thing? I don't know, $600,000? Man, how much prostitution did you do? Daniela Diemo, 47, and four other women were arrested Thursday when cops stormed Bliss Spa in Edison in a coordinated takedown following a year-long undercover operation. And so how does... So when stuff... I don't even know if you can answer this, either one of you guys, in these prostitution stings. So what... especially with spas. I guess word gets out, you either send somebody in undercover to go in, or you're monitoring it over and over.
You send somebody in, because you have to know what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you could just be people going in for a massage or something.
I just saw the video of the woman that hired a hitman to kill her husband,
mm-hmm.
and the hitman she hired was a police officer. Mm-hmm. Then they come to her, and they break... This is from, like, 2011. They break the news that her husband's dead. Oh, my God. Give her the Oscar. Meryl Streep, take notes. I mean, this woman was bawling, and then the cop's like, lady, your husband's still alive. You're being arrested.
Yeah.
you hired a police officer as a hitman, you dumbass.
Yeah.
But again...
Well, they go online looking for them. They do.
How about the guy that they checked his search history, and it's like, how to get rid of a dead body? How do you get rid of the smell?
Yes.
It's like, wow, I wonder what you were doing last night. Anyway, that's why I delete my search history. I try to, but I think the internet knows.
That can be recovered, by the way.
God. Yeah, well, they know what I'm into then. The amount of cash seized and the elaborate concealment methods used to show just how sophisticated and profitable these illegal operations can be. We will continue to effort to rid our community of these establishments. They also arrested one, two, three, four other people. Maybe even more than that, but four other people were listed here, each being charged with engaging in or soliciting prostitution. Was there, I don't know if this was the sting, but there was a high-profile person. Was it an athlete or somebody that was caught in one of these stings recently, a former athlete? I was just reading about it. Probably should have wrote it down or actually remembered it. Now, so we have a police cadet in Chicago police's, Chicago police recruits pants. They found these small baggies of white powder with dollar signs on them.
Mm-hmm.
As he was going through, you know, a routine kind of thing with the as a cadet or whatever, going through this process. And I guess they fell out of his pockets, or he was being frisked and they found them. Well, his answer is, these aren't my pants. They're my brother's pants. I'm like, dude, are you serious? They weren't his pants. They were his brother's pants. His brother is a police officer. They were fake baggies that he left in his pocket. And as he's going through the procedure, they fall out. And then he gets arrested. And so after they do some, some search here and looking at things, they find out that, you know, it wasn't his. So they dropped the drug charges yesterday against CPD recruit accused of having crack cocaine in his pants pockets during a narcotics training class. I don't remember if we talked about this or not, because I think I did bring it up saying, how stupid do you have to be to bring narcotics to this?
We did talk about this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then it turns out, you know how we had the Pikesville principle? It's AI. Yes. Yeah, buddy, it's AI. Oh, it was AI? I'm sorry.
You know, I said it was AI from the start, remember?
Well, I just said, come on.
Moment, that's what I said. No, that's not real. But, you know, in my academy class, somebody drove a stolen car to school. I'm not kidding. He got locked up in class.
Did he know it was stolen? Yes. Or he borrowed it from somebody?
I don't know. He got locked up because that's what he drove to the academy.
I still laugh at the Serpico thing that you tell me about that they did all the time, where it's like, hey, you want Yankee tickets? And then it's all the people that they're looking for to try to arrest.
We used to do it with free cell phones. And yeah.
And Al Pacino's out front with the guy with his kid. He's like, take a break, buddy. Get out of here. It's like trying to help the guy out. But we want to see the Yankees.
Job fairs. We would do all kinds of fake things.
That's funny. That's your world of stupid.
We give out shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, thoughts on Ronnie Stanley's Player Tribune piece up next on The Fan. Ronnie Stanley talked in the Player Tribune, and lots of speculations about, I think he's getting to the point now, Ed, where he's starting to address the old thing about being soft.
Wouldn't you be tired of hearing it?
I would be tired of hearing it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure after a while, you try to take the high road and like, all right, okay, all right, you know, just let it roll off your back. After a while, it's like, hey, hey, let me talk about this. You think I'm soft? Yeah, seriously, it would drive me crazy if I was him.
He said, I wouldn't have been able to play with the injury. No matter what I tried to do, there was no amount of toughness that was going to change that and allow me to play effectively no matter how tough I was. It had nothing to do with not being able to fight through the pain. Jeremy, that's directly addressing whether or not he's tough.
It is, but we also, like, I know for a fact one of his teammates, I mean, heard it, called him soft. So a former offensive lineman that was playing alongside him said that he was a soft individual. But again, like, you don't know what somebody's going through injury-wise. And I hate when we do this because we'll look at certain players and go, that guy's not tough, right? Or label him a certain way. The thing that was often said about Ronnie Stanley, whether it's fair or unfair, is that he wouldn't play unless he was 100%. If you read the article, you'd probably think he wasn't 100%, right?
Yeah.
Or at least, like, yeah. It's not that you have to play if you're 100%, but there's a vast difference of playing hurt and playing injured. And you don't want to play injured.
He said, outside of the house, I relied a lot on my family, who always had my back first and foremost, and one teammate I could talk about always having my back is Lamar Jackson. There were other guys who had my back too, but eight always had my back. I've never met a more authentic person in the NFL. He's the face of the franchise and has all the pressure in the world on his shoulders. He's got every incentive to just be a company man, and instead he comes in every day like his genuine self, not trying to fit any mold, an elite competitor with that childlike joy for the game. I love it. So, you know, he's calling Lamar not only the face of the franchise, Ed, and a great competitor, but he's saying he's a great teammate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Said nobody had his back like Lamar.
I believe that. I think Lamar does with everyone. Look, he's a veteran. This is not his first year in the league, talking about Lamar. Think about his body of work. Forget the on-field stuff, which is next worldly. Never throws anybody under the bus. Calls reporters like, you know, Miss Sarah, Miss Michelle. He's just incredibly polite. Other than a supercar incident. I mean, you don't hear any like really crazy off-field stuff. He just seems like a genuine guy, just as he said.
He said the first injury, he tore every muscle in his foot except one. Jeremy, then when he came back, he tore that muscle. That's why he left again.
That's why, like, if you've had certain injuries, like, people look at things and go, like, when you hear turf toe, it's like, oh, really? Your big toe?
That hurts, man.
That's, to me, that's the worst foot injury you can have besides a Liz Frank, which could be career-ending, because the turf toe, if you've never had, it's so painful.
What's your balance?
It's your big toe.
Yeah.
That's what you use.
Yeah.
So, like,
the push
and,
off.
And think about toe. An offensive lineman. What's your first step in pass blocking?
Yep.
Yeah.
A step. Right off of that toe.
Yep. What about run blocking? You're pushing forward. Yeah. You're pushing back.
You never realize how much the big toe and the thumb, what it does for you until you injure it.
I've had plantar fasciitis.
That hurts.
Turf toe, Achilles tendonitis. I've never had the Liz Frank. I've had broken bone in my foot, tendons torn. There's nothing worse than the turf toe. I mean, that sumbitch, you don't realize until you hurt something how much you use it on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You ever hurt your thumb?
Yeah.
Try to open a damn door?
Yeah.
That's why everyone else lives outside.
Yeah, you got to open it. You got to hold your thumb. Honestly, the only leg injuries I had when I was younger, the athlete, were hamstrings. My hamstrings was like the trainers in college used to work on my hamstrings for a half hour before I played. Just stretching them because they just wouldn't stretch. But I've never had those kind of leg injuries or foot injuries, definitely. So, I mean, I can only imagine. But I do know how important the big toe is in being an athlete.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's, again, like all these things that people look at, and I always laugh because fans will go, oh, he's out 2 to 4 weeks, so we can expect him back in 2 weeks? It never works that way. Like, sometimes you get lucky and the guy comes back. Yeah. But for an offensive lineman to go out there and feel pain on every single play, you got to get help. Get back to 100% if that's what you need.
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, look, I've always been a big Ron Stanley fan. I remember when that teammate did make the comment about him being soft and all of that. But, I mean, you don't be soft and be an all-pro in the NFL. And even, you know, Preston had made comments about Ronnie being soft or whatever. But I've always been in this corner, and you don't know what people go through doing injuries or how they're feeling as far as playing hurt or whatever. But I've always been a big fan of Ronnie Stanley.
Are you crying?
Oh, no, I was eating. I had something in my throat.
I don't know, man. That voice is trembling.
Because of Ronnie Stanley.
Okay. It's okay. He's a good guy.
Yeah. You ain't got to cry, Mike. We believe.
We have to get Mike's new theme song, Janis Joplin. Cry, baby. It did sound like his voice was trembling, didn't it?
Or Mary J. Blige, I'm not going to cry.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
No, if he says something stupid, tears of a clown. Sorry, Mike. Mike's probably on it. Like, damn, man, I just called in.
I called in to see a phone call and to dump it on me.
He's really crying now.
So wrong.
I was thinking it when Rob said it. I said, all right, fair game.
Hey, y'all know the rules when you call here.
Yeah, everything's open. Yeah,
you know the rules when you call here. We laughed at a man's casket yesterday.
It wasn't a man. It was mine. It was me in a casket, and Rob laughed at it.
That's me in a casket.
I had somebody come up to me yesterday and say, man, that was messed up. And I said, it was funny. It doesn't matter if it's messed up. It's funny.
Skin a casket. Jerry's in a casket.
Until you think that happens, and I tap you on the shoulder, and I go, surprise, bitch, set it up. I ain't dead. Who you laughing at?
But one thing Mike did say through the tears, it's hard.
How do we have to do that, man? I can't wait for Mike's call tomorrow. Can we let him call back in today? Just once.
It's hard to say a man is soft when he's an all-pro left tackle. Man.
You're literally fighting with the toughest guy on the other team every day.
But is it softer?
Every game.
Is it softer to cry about him not playing or for him not to play?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, Rodney, if you're listening, I don't know if you want a man in tears defending whether or not you're soft. I don't know if that's the route to go. I'm just saying, Rodney. But I'm glad to hear. I thought the best part of all that he said was the fact that, Jeremy, how much Lamar Jackson had his back.
Yeah. I mean, look, Ronnie Stanley's a really, really good guy. And I'm not saying you have to like him or think he's a great football because of that, but he's a really good effing football player, too. And I think during those injuries, we had questions. Do you want to keep this guy? Are you worried about his injury history and coming back? He's been nothing but amazing for this team. And in the fact that you got him in the fold now, I think it's a good thing because you entered that draft not having the reach for anything, and we feel like they killed it in that draft.
They did. They absolutely
did. And they got linemen, too. So on top of that, a project and one that you think you might be able to plug and play, depending on how he looks in camp.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Do not forget, we got shovels at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, reaction to Trey Hendrickson's comments about the Bengals and Zach Taylor. Do you really think Hendrickson would fit or sit a year out, I should say, over money? I don't know about that. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
I'm a Floridian, so there's unprovoked shark attacks, and there's provoked shark attacks. And the comments that are being made, right, whatever happened at the combine, whatever happened at the owners' meetings, and the text I got yesterday, this is not something where I'm just twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh, how can I get the next one up? These things are provoked. I would love to say, to sit quiet is a good strategy. It is clearly not.
That's Trey Hendrickson. That's just from yesterday. And it's on. I declare war. This is on, man.
I
don't think he's going to play for the Bengals again.
I don't either. Good. Man, it sucks that you guys have some problems, man. Your best defensive player doesn't want to play on a team that has no defense.
Didn't he lead the league in sacks?
Yep. Yeah. Good luck.
17 and a half.
Yeah. Well, we got to pay all our wide receivers. Most expensive wide receiver room in the NFL.
That says a lot. That you think they pay too much for wide receivers.
I love T. Higgins. I think he's fantastic. They don't. I
got you.
They don't need him at that price.
They could have did more with that money on the other side of the ball and become a better team.
It doesn't matter who you put on the other side of Jamar Chase. If the guy can run routes, he's going to have one-on-ones all effing day. Now, when you have T. Higgins out there, it makes you say, well, wait a minute, maybe they can't double him as much. No, they're still going to double him. Still going to double him. We just know you can't stop us on defense because you can't stop a nosebleed. And your best player, who led the league in sacks for a team that was hoping to play ahead and let that guy loose, now you have this. They could have drafted a wide receiver. Yeah, you could have picked up one of these cats in the offseason that we were talking about. That's like, they could have picked up D-Hop. You know what I mean? And playing him alongside, he'd have been fine. So, I don't know, man. Trade for DK Metcalf. Well, you'd have to pay him. But anyway, there were options for things that they could have done. And let's not forget, too, like when you're talking about new faces and new places, Debo's in D.C., DK's in Pittsburgh. It's going to be a new look next year, but Cincinnati's offense is going to look the same.
You really think Hendrickson will sit out the entire year yet?
No.
Hendrickson. You don't?
No.
Football players don't do that.
No. He's too good. I mean, I can't imagine sitting out the whole year.
You think he wants to see if they flinch?
Yeah.
Or trade him.
I remember one football player
for him.
Set out the entire year, but he was... Yeah.
Who, Le'Veon?
Nuts. Le'Veon Bell, yeah. He was nuts.
How'd that work out?
Well, it didn't work out bad. He got paid afterwards.
Yeah, he put out a rap album and got on a jet ski.
I got paid, though.
Yeah, he got paid.
He couldn't play before. That's why he sat out. He was smart. He knew it was over with. I don't see him sitting out a 4 year either, because I just don't ever predict football players to sit out. They seem to be the group that needs that money more than any, and I think largely because the money's not guaranteed. You got to get the guaranteed money while you can.
Yes.
You know, you don't. Then again, you never hear baseball players and basketball players threatening to sit out.
Basketball players sit out every other night. So.
You're right. They don't have to threaten. They just do it.
You don't know, Ed.
I do know.
Okay. Yeah, maybe you do. I mean, you sound, you said it with conviction, so I believe you now. I like Trey Hendrickson a lot, but let's not forget the other lineman that they had, defensive lineman they had that they liked, Hubbard, he retired. How are you replacing him? This is a team that has so much money tied up in two receivers and a quarterback, and I have no idea how they figure out the rest of the roster.
Let's be honest. We talk so much about the Browns because they deserve it, but the Bengals aren't smart either. The Bengals got lucky, and they got Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. They got lucky.
They got the number one pick the right year.
Other than that, no. Come on. You know where this Trey Hendrickson situation is going. You know Trey Hendrickson doesn't want to come back. Make the move before the draft. Get some picks out of this. Now you're going to go another year, because I don't think he's going to play for them again. I don't think he's going to have to sit out. He's going to force the hand, because he's going to publicly humiliate them until they have to trade him. Now, what are you getting for him? Next year's pick? You don't know. You trade for a team that you think may have a good draft pick, and the next thing you know, in the NFL, they win 12 games, and now you're at the back end of the first round or whatever round you traded for. You should have made this trade this draft day, before this draft day, or on this draft day. Now you're stuck with either draft picks that you're uncertain about for next year with a disgruntled player. So who's now officially announced to the world that he's not playing for you again.
Well, the other thing that I see with this, too, is like I wonder about Cincinnati's window. Because when you pay these type of guys that type of money, you have the highest paid wide receiver. You have the highest paid non-quarterback in football. And he deserves it. And the two best players on their team, their quarterback and wide receiver – they were lucky that they got the number one overall pick and got Burrow. And in the following year, they were lucky that there were quarterbacks in front of Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying, you guys got to take Penei Sewell. Would have been a good player for him. But Ja'Marr Chase is, forgive me, the best wide receiver in football. Mm. Sorry, Justin. Because if I was talking about you, I'd say you're the best one. But anyway, those two guys, to me, are one of ones. I don't think there's, I mean, you can, CeeDee Lamb and the rest of these guys are really good. I think those two guys are so effing special. And when you have Ja'Marr Chase, it allows you to do other things on offense where you don't have to input that money. Let's not forget, they also paid Mike Gesicki. Why? I mean, for what? Like, you paid this guy when you could have allocated some money to defense? You've done nothing to your defense. No. You're a poor quarterback, and I've said this before, if you're drafting a quarterback in best ball or fantasy, Joe Burrow should be number one on the board ahead of everyone else because he's going to be throwing the ball every effing time.
But he'll lose games 41-38.
Yep.
The defense sucks really badly.
They did nothing to improve that defense, no. And it was one of the worst defenses in football. And the other thing is their offense is going to be great because now they finally realize their running back Brown can play and he can be a feature back.
I'm convinced, man. We're living in a generation now where these GMs grew up playing Madden. And I think they're playing, some of them are playing Madden within the NFL. Seriously. Because some of the moves they make are Madden-like moves. Like what Duke Tobin, that's his name? What he did, that's the Bengals GM, right? Mm-hmm. What he did makes absolutely no sense. And if you're the owner, you got to go, okay, well, I don't like what you're doing right now, but you are the GM. If it doesn't work, I'm just going to fire you and get another one. But it just, it makes no sense what he did to me with the way he built this roster. None whatsoever. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rashawn just sent me a text.
About the Cowboys?
Who are we talking about right now?
Why? Don't even bring up CeeDee Lamb.
No. What team we talking about right now?
The Bengals.
So why did he send me a text? We feasting on some Chiefs on Thanksgiving with a picture of week 13 between these two cats.
Which teams, though?
The Chiefs and the Cowboys.
Well, I didn't know which team. He's got two teams. I didn't know which one you were talking about.
We're not talking about either one of these teams.
Uh-huh.
Rashawn, what is wrong with you?
I thought definitely, since I said CeeDee Lamb's not in the same class as those other two cats, that he'd be calling in.
Maybe he sent this before you said that.
He got bigger teeth than both those guys. That's
about it. No, he sent it afterwards.
Okay.
Maybe he agrees with you.
No.
Maybe he agrees with you.
Okay, maybe he's like, you know what? Thanks, Rashawn, for co-signing on that. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, huge gap than everyone else.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ken Singleton, Oriole Hall of Famer, joins us at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, we're giving out shovels. Ed?
Going to give it a shovel to the Florida Panthers vice chairman. You can't do things this stupid.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margo Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.